Praise the Lord. I need y'all to be excited today. All right, there we go. I got my backup on me, yeah? Amen. Praise God. Why do I need y'all to be excited? Because God is good. Amen. God is good. We were talking in our early prayer that sometimes in life we can be laying in a bed of roses and be all depressed because it's one weed in the patch. Amen. Sometimes we have blessing all around us. God's been good to us. We have things in our life that are going so well. But the one thing that the enemy wants to magnify, he will put in front of your face and blow it up so big that you just get paralyzed by that thing. Now, in the middle of one, probably what I would consider my worst season in life, absolute worst season in life, I had to look up and recognize, man, I was so blessed. I was so blessed. In the window of time where my mother and my brother passed away, they died a few weeks between the two. And that was downtime. That was a bad time. Because I had already been going for a year taking FMLA from the job and traveling back and forth to Atlanta to go see my mother, and I'm trying to get her to move back to California, and I'm all and all that pressure of dealing with you know your parents take care of you, and then you're trying to save them. I'm gonna save Mama. I'm gonna bring her home. I'm gonna bring her back to California. And then I'm gonna fight this cancer, and I'm gonna use my faith, and I'm gonna take care of it. And me and my brother that are both trying to get her to move back, I go to see her, and I get a phone call from his wife that he just died. And I remember laying there like, I can't believe this. Because, you know, go through grief, you go through stages, right? You go through a stage of shock. I can't believe this. I don't believe this. Matter of fact, this is a joke. I'm going to wake up in a few minutes, and then I'm going to say, whew, boy, that was a bad dream. I'm going to go back to my life, except I was awake. And so you deal with that stuff, and you sit there, and I remember laying there, and my wife asked me, are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm fine. And then I remember just crying like a baby. And then I got to go, now I got to go tell my parents, because I'm at their house visiting them, because we just got there. So now I got to go tell my parents bad news. What am I going to say? How am I going to deal with this? Worst possible time. Worst possible time. I'm here to take care of her because she's sick. And I got to tell her her baby's dead. Oh, Lord. Man, feels bad. No good. You can't make no good out of it. But man, there's something about Jesus. Something about Jesus that being in the middle of a storm, he will reveal who he is. See, sometimes you can't really understand who he is until you get into a bad place and then you see who he is. Because see, when things are good, he reveals himself and you go, that's cool, but I got it going on too. But when you get in your hard place, you get in your worst place, you get in your toughest time, right in the middle of that, when he shows up, then you say, man, God is good. And I watched God do miraculous things. Through that next period of time, I'm telling you, I saw God do so many powerful and miraculous things. And I think about it now, I'm thinking to myself, my God, I didn't even believe God existed. And in the worst time, here he was. In my worst time, there he was for me. Wow, amazing. See, why am I telling you this? Am I telling you this to think, wow, that's really amazing? No, I'm telling you this because you need to understand that in your worst season, God will be there. In your absolute worst season, God will be there. And the powerful thing is if you don't wait till the worst season, you can have God through the good seasons. And you can have less bad seasons if you get with God in the good season. Amen? You can't be protected from things happening because this world has death in it. This world has stuff in it. It's going to be challenges in this world. You can't stop that from happening. But I'll tell you what, you can sure enough be prepared when things happen that you're not expecting. Amen. When you draw near to God and he's near to you in the middle of the storm, he will be there. There's a story in the Bible where Jesus and his disciples go out into this water. They're going out and a storm comes. And when the storm comes, they're all panicking and they start looking for Jesus. Jesus, where are you? Where is he? And the Bible says that Jesus was laying down at the bottom of the boat with his head on a pillow. Sleep. The storm that has them all shook up, he's sleeping through. Turn to your neighbor and say, your worst day. Somebody else may have a worse one. It's their worst day. They're scared they're going to die. They're up there panicking, freaking out. And what is he doing? Down there sleeping. It wasn't his worst day. Jesus knew this is not going to be my worst day. And here's what even better about Jesus. Jesus said, today is not my day. Yeah, the storm is out there. It's going on. But this ain't taking me out. I got things to do. I'm not going anywhere. Later on, Jesus is preaching to a group of people. They get mad at his preaching. They so mad at him, they decide they're going to throw Jesus the Christ off a cliff. Tell me, have you ever talked to somebody, you made them so mad, they said, we're going to throw you off a cliff today? He must have said something really powerful to them. Amen? They decided, this crowd decides they're going to throw Jesus off a cliff. And he said, not today. Today's not my day. And walks through the crowd. They so mad, they're going to kill this man, throw him off a cliff. He just says, not today. And walks away. A crowd of people, I want y'all to think about this. A crowd of people have decided they're going to throw you off a cliff. How bad are you that you can just say, not today? Not today. Today is not my day. Most of us, a crowd says, we're going to kill you. You know what we do? I'm not talking about one-on-one where you might fight your way. I'm talking about a crowd. See, when we're talking about who Jesus is, we have to really get a clear picture. Who he is, what he's done for our lives. Because if you don't really grasp the depth of what Jesus has done in your life, you will miss out. Because you won't understand how good he's really been. You won't understand how good he can be if you don't understand how good he's already been. See, there's a lot of things in our lives, a lot of areas we have to grow up and mature in. And part of wisdom, which is our subject that we've been talking about, is part of wisdom is the ability to begin with the fear of the Lord, the appreciation of God, the recognition of who God is, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And when you can get to that point where you start with the fear of the Lord and you start understanding, then there are certain things that don't bother you anymore. I was at work and somebody said, I had to make a presentation. And this person said to me, I can't believe you're never nervous giving a presentation. I said, I'm not scared of that. I'm not worried about, number one, I know what I'm talking about. Number one, I've prepared myself. Number two, I'm not scared of those people. I don't care who's in the room. Number three, God is with me. If God is with me, who can do anything to me? Number four, I know that even if I mess up, that God will give me his supernatural wisdom and that will get out of it. So why be afraid? Why have fear? when you know who's with you. Now, wisdom, turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 11. That was a tangent, but we'll go back to what God is having us do. Amen? Amen. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. And we've been talking about wisdom, and we want to jump into this pretty deep. The last few weeks, we've been talking about a certain aspect of wisdom, which is based on this passage. Proverbs 11, verse 30. When you get there, say amen. The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Tell your neighbor, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life. You look like a tree. The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life. In other words, what righteousness produces is a tree of life. What righteousness produces is a tree of life. And he that wins souls is wise. Why would we have to win souls? You have to win them because they're lost. Amen? If people are lost, what constitutes a lost person? A lost person is anybody who's not connected to their creator. And every child born since Adam has been born a sinner. Adam and Eve were created in the perfection of God. Their offspring, from then on, after the fall, every single person born was lost. Need of redemption. In need of redemption. So the word here says that the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. There's a need to win souls, and in order to win souls, you have to be wise. Now, turn real quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. We're doing some review, and then we're going to get deep here real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. It says, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God. So the very first thing when it comes to Jesus, even before he's made anything else, Jesus was made the wisdom of God, according to Scripture. Amen? Christ was made unto us wisdom from God, not human wisdom, not street wisdom, not common sense, but the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God that is sent for a purpose, it has a design. The wisdom of God that is designed to manifest something in a season when you need to know things. So like I said, when I'm in this window of time where I'm facing grief, God, by his supernatural wisdom, gave me a divine understanding about how to walk out of it. Not artificially, not playing like I'm okay when I'm really not okay, not any of that stuff. I'm talking about God supernaturally gave me a wisdom about death so that I was able to walk out of it. Amen. And again, I'm not talking about just feeling bad and acting like I'm not feeling it. I'm talking about God supernaturally did something in my heart that allowed me to, in the face of death of the two of the people that were closest to me in my life, to just walk out of it. Supernaturally. And it wasn't my mind, and it wasn't somebody could share with me. It was Christ has been made unto me wisdom from God. Christ was made unto me. In other words, I needed something, and God made it. How many of you, you've been a child and you've been out running around and you walk in the house and your mama said, baby, let me make you something. She saw you hungry. You've been running around all the time. And out of love, she says, let me make you something. You want one of them bologna sandwiches, you know, and you put it on, you know, put it on there, put it in the skillet, let it rise up. God looked at us, saw our needs, and said, let me make Christ unto you wisdom. Wisdom from me. You know, you get a special something from mama. I was thinking about you, so I made this for you. That's what God does. The love of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What did he give him for? He gave him to become wisdom for us. Because he knows there's stuff in life you don't know and you can't figure out. So what does he do? He makes Christ wisdom for you. The first wisdom that he was that he is my Savior. That's why when you look at this passage, he first made him wisdom from God. Then he made him righteousness. Because you can't receive that until you get the wisdom of God. You have to have the wisdom of God to understand I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. So first comes the wisdom of God. He steps in as white wisdom, understanding, opening our eyes, giving us understanding so that we can receive who Christ is. Once he received him, now he makes him righteousness for us. In other words, now I'm in right standing. I'm righteousness. And what do we just read in Proverbs? That the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life. So Christ was made wisdom for me. Then he was made righteousness to me, which put me right standing. The word righteous to be means to be in right relationship. That I've been made righteousness in Christ. In other words, he who knew no sin became sin for me that I might become the righteousness of God in him. That I'm in him, and in him is righteousness. In other words, he made this right standing so I don't have to earn it with my actions. I don't have to try to win it with my behavior. So we're going to do a fast, but you're not going to win yourself any closer to God. You're going to get your own eyes open to God. When you fast, you get your own eyes open to God. You're not getting any closer to him because I'm already in him. I can't get no closer than what I am in him. I just need to be able to have my eyes open to be what it means to be in him. When my eyes are open to what it means to be in him, then I start realizing, oh man, I got this. I have this. I have righteousness. Wow. I don't have to impress anybody. Wow. He's been made sanctification for us. He set us apart. And he's been made redemption for us. In other words, he's paid every price that needs to be paid to have you. So that means, again, you don't have to earn anything. You can't earn your way by giving. You can't earn your way by serving. You can't earn your way by going out and preaching to everybody. You can't earn your way by doing a whole bunch of things. It all comes down to the wisdom of God, which is God so loves me, I've been made free, so I have to do nothing out of obligation. I do nothing out of obligation. I do everything out of love. See, originally when the tithe was created, the first Bible institution of the tithe, when the tithe is introduced, it's not God telling somebody they have to tithe. The first record of the tithe in the Bible is Abraham meeting a man whose name Melchizedek, a king from a place called Salem. And he says, this man is so great. I don't know who his daddy is. I don't know who his mother is. I don't even know where he came from. But this man is so great, I am compelled to give him a tenth of everything I have. That's love, respect, admiration. Man, this man is so great, I'm going to give him something. I'm going to give him a tenth of, not tenth of my income, a tenth of all I have. I'm counting what I got. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, that's his. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, that's his. I'm counting everything I got. I'm going to give him some of that. So if anybody tries to cheat you and tells you you got a tithe to break the curse, you tell them Jesus broke my curse. Now, Jesus broke the curse. Now, should you tithe in the New Testament? If you love God, then you should be compelled by what you love God. If you love him and you respect him enough, then do what you need to do. But don't do it thinking that it's going to break a curse, because it's not. Because if Jesus' blood is not enough to break a curse on your life, your little champ change money that you can't even spend in Switzerland ain't going to make God no difference. Let's get real. Now, we can't pay the rent if y'all don't give, to be honest. But you don't give because I can't trick you into giving. I can't compel you into giving. I can't make you give by trying to persuade you. If you don't give, that you're going to have a curse that you can't lift off your life. Jesus paid it all. All. All means some. Okay, y'all listening. All means all. Amen? Wisdom. Wisdom means that when we hear stuff, we hear what God's saying and not what people say. Wisdom from God means that we commit ourselves to listening to who God says he is, not who people say God is. If I tell you something, you still need to say, and this is really powerful. This is why we bring any scripture up, real, just anyone. Why do we do this? I want you to see it for yourself. If I say something and it's not what it says right there, then I'm off. If I'm misquoting and mistalking and talking crap, no, this is what it says. If you look and see that's what it says, you can see it in your Bible, you can see it on the wall. Whichever one you see it, that's fine. But the main thing is the wisdom of God is from his word. The wisdom of God is revealed in his word, and that's what we're aiming to do. We're aiming to have the word in our hearts, have the words in our mind, have the word down in us so that when we face challenges, we live by what the word says so that we can walk in what God says we should have. Christ was made unto me wisdom from God. Don't be afraid to make a mistake, but don't just live from here. Amen. Amen? Amen? Don't be afraid to make a mistake, but don't just live from here either. Or here. I just felt like it. Somebody told me they were giving me some correction one day. Came in my office and they giving me correction. And they corrected me, telling me, you need to do this with your staff and you need to do this. They telling me all this stuff. You know, sometimes I just feel like doing this. I said, listen. I said, I am a 6'7", 250-pound black man. If I do whatever I feel like doing, because, matter of fact, if I do what I feel like doing right now, we're going to have a problem. It's raining outside one day. Standing at the BART train. Rain coming down out the sky. All the people with sense are standing underneath the overhang so they're not getting rained on. So the little yellow box there that people usually line up, nobody's standing there because we're all standing under the cover. So the train comes, and some person decides that they're going to cut in front of everybody because ain't nobody in line. I'm going to come in here, and they got on the train. And so people are kind of grumbling, and the two seats, the lady sat in that seat. I end up sitting right across from her. And I sat and looked at her, and I had to argue with myself. And then I said, you do know what you did was wrong, right? What? Well, people were just standing. I said, you know what I'm talking about then. That was wrong. Well, people were just standing back. I had the right to go. I said, listen, it's something called social order. I said, you make a choice because you thought you're clever enough to get in here and get on the train. I said, I'm the biggest person on the train. What if I do what I want to do? What if I just do what I feel like doing? And then people clapping, right?
Some of y'all should have said something. It made me speak up.
If you operate by what you feel and you operate only by what you think, you're going to get into trouble. And we all know that's true. So when you understand that, then what's wrong with me then going to the Word and finding out what does God say so that I don't get myself into trouble? Praise the Lord. All right. This message is on the rails. It's never where I thought it was going. Amen. It's all good. It's good. Whatever God says is what we'll do. But I'll tell you what, these notes is probably worthless right about now. All right. Mark chapter 1. Oh, praise the Lord. Mark chapter 1. So we're talking about wisdom today. And the wisdom of the Word starts to empower us. When we know what the Word says and we're able to flow with the Word, then we start to see God do miraculous things. Now, this is what Jesus told his disciples, and we looked at this before, but we look at it again. We're going to start at verse 16, Mark chapter 1, verse 16. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. So let's stop right there. So Jesus is minding his own business. He's walking around. He sees these two guys, and he decides he's going to engage them. Jesus is going to engage them. He's going to start a conversation with them. He chooses to have a conversation with them. They don't look up and choose Jesus. He looks at them and makes a choice to engage them in a conversation. He sees them out doing their work. They're fishermen. They're out taking care of their nets. They're doing what they do. He makes a choice to engage them in a conversation. Next verse, verse 17. Then Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." Excuse me, make you become. I just told y'all I need to say it accurately, and then I misread it. So, "I will make you become fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. All right. Jesus said, "If you follow me, I will make you become fishers of men." In other words, I will change your character. I will change who you are, but I will keep what you are. I will make you to become fishers of men. I will make you become fishers of men if you follow me. So Jesus puts out to them, if you can follow my directions, I can cause you to catch men the way you were able to catch fish. If he saw some carpenters, he might have said, "Follow me and I'll make you builders of men." If he found some farmers, he might have said, "Follow me and I'll make you farmers of men." In other words, he will take what you know, what you understand, and he will take that and give you a spiritual insight into it. It's not just fishers of men. It's being transformed to do what you do as unto the Lord. Just like you were able to fish and you were able to do that, I will show you how to do the same thing for God. I will show you how to do the thing that you know how to do. I will take who you are, what you're skilled at, what you have ability for, and I will take that and use it for God's glory and make you a fisher, builder, grower of men. Whatever it is you are. Whatever it is you are, I will show you how to do it as unto me. So he told them he was going to make them fishers of men. Later on in Matthew 28, he told them that he was going to send them out into the harvest. He's going to send them out, go into all the world, preach the good news to every creature, teach them everything I taught you. So when we're talking about wisdom and he that wins souls is wise, what we want to merely make clear is that God will use who you are to reach other people. He'll use who you are to reach other people. Sometimes we see stuff, we go, "Man, I wish I could do it like that." You don't need to do it like that. You need to do it like you. You need to do it like you. My, let's bring up the spiritual maturity slide. Let's bring that up real quick. Let's go through this. I want to show you a couple things. So spiritual maturity begins with understanding that God will take you through a cycle of understanding, okay? He takes common information, and he makes it revelation to you. So they knew about fish. They knew about fishing. So he gave them a spiritual insight. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. It was such a revelation to them that they left their business. Understand, they're fishermen, not us that go fishing on a Saturday. These are fishermen, fishing for life. Fishing, if we don't catch, we don't eat. Fishermen. This is their business. They left their business. They walked away. This man, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. They left their business. They walked away from their jobs and they followed this man to become fishers of men. We hear the gospel, man, it's like, wow, that's nice. They heard the gospel and said, I'm leaving everything. I'm following this man. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. That became a revelation to them. The revelation was so strong they had to take an action. They left their nets and they followed him. It required something. When God sends a revelation to your life, it requires you to grasp the revelation and do something with it. Act on it. Do something. You got to do something what God reveals, what God shows you. As soon as they acted, they became his disciples and they witnessed miracles all over the place because of their obedience. Now, in the same way, had they chose not to take the revelation and stayed fishing, they would have just heard about miracles that Jesus was doing. Because he's going to do his miracles whether you choose to follow him or not. The question is whether you're going to be on the scene when it happens. So they made that choice. So always when we receive revelation from God, God reveals something. We go, man, that's deep. That's really nice. And always the question is, what do I do with it? Once I do something with it, now I can expect God is going to bring to pass what he said. And when he does, it's my responsibility, and I'll never be fully mature until I impart that, what I've learned, to somebody else. I will never be fully mature in something until I learn to pass it on to somebody. So that's the reality. Now, with that in mind, I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. When you get there, tell your neighbor, at first I thought you were a tree. Now I think you're a fisherman. All right, 1 Peter chapter 3. Now while we're going there, I want to ask you a question. When you think about your life and you think about how God has blessed your life, do you know anybody whose life is similar to yours? Similar to yours in the sense that what I was struggling with as an unbeliever, I see them struggling with now. Anybody know somebody like that? Something you were struggling with before you knew God, before you really started walking with God, you're struggling with something and you know they're struggling with it. How many, if you know somebody like that, raise your hand. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who ask you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Always be ready. Now, if you're a tree and I walk up to you and I start reaching into the tree and there's no fruit in the tree, How does that feel? Man, I'm reaching up in this tree. I'm trying to get a fruit. I know what kind of tree it is. I'm trying to get fruit. I can't find fruit. Same thing. You go over to another tree. You reach in the tree. You pull down some fruit. You bite it. You get that smile on your face. Well, after you wipe the dirt off of it, you bite it. And you had a smile on your face because you just had that fruit. You know, it's that fresh, picked it off the tree. Taste, you know? You know when we were kids, we used to raid all the trees in the neighborhood? All the stuff you're not supposed to be eating, you're going to climb in somebody's yard. I walked on top of a fence. If you never balanced on a 2x4 up on a fence, you don't know what I'm talking about. You got up there, get up there and get you something. Bite it. It's that feeling, yeah. When you reach up and you get something, fruit, it's refreshing to your soul. Remember we read originally in Proverbs? The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life. So the fruit in your life, the fruit that comes out of your life, it reflects a readiness to answer people. Why are you so hopeful? Because see, when you give your life to Christ, see, trees have seasons, but you don't have a season. Your season started and it goes all the way. You have an eternal season. The fruit that produces out of your life is eternal. And what do you think it is? If you're not grateful, if we don't have a grateful attitude, we stop realizing we have fruit. We start believing what the enemy tells us about who we are. And we start looking, man, I'm 6'7", if I was only 6'2". Everybody else said, man, if I was 6'7". We have all these things and we have all these image issues that the enemy's constantly sending at us to get us to always look at ourselves in light of what man's thoughts are concerning you. And we're not looking at what God's thoughts are concerning us and the fruit that God has already produced in our lives. And when you understand that God is producing fruit in your life, you start realizing I'm walking around as a tree of life because of the righteousness that's already mine. That Christ has already made me righteous, and because I am, I have fruit and I am edible. People can come to me and I have something for them. So when somebody says, man, something's wrong, I need help. He said, man, I'll see if I can find you some help. No, you're the help. You're the help. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Amen. Your life is fruitful. Your life is things on you. You have things in you that God is trying to produce and show the world who you are. He's trying to reveal the wisdom of what he's been doing to the world. But this is what Romans chapter 8 says. All the world is awaiting, groaning, travailing, waiting for the revelation of the sons of God. Guess who's in charge of your revelation? You are. You're in charge of the revelation because God's already given you a revelation. He's already put you in him. Christ was already made to us. Wisdom from God. He's already been made to us. Righteousness, sanctification, redemption. He's already been made that. So all is up to us is to start revealing the fruit. Revealing the fruit. How are you going to reveal the fruit? First thing you got to know and have be ready for a defense of what's the hope in you. So when people say, well, you're always so happy. Why are you so happy all the time? Would you really like to know? I said, do you know I used to be an atheist? Really? Yeah. I used to be an atheist. You're a Christian now, right? Yeah, I am. You see, what happened is this. I was minding my own business. I got mad about something. I'm going to do something about my anger. I'm going to have an encounter with somebody. And all of a sudden I had an encounter and Jesus became real to me. Well, how did it happen? Somebody was talking to me and all of a sudden I didn't hear them. All of a sudden I just knew God was real. Amen. What? Yeah. What am I doing? I have a defense for people wanting to know what's the hope in me. They don't even know they asked me to witness to them. They don't realize that they asked me because I'm not talking about something spiritual. I didn't break out a big old cross and say, you want to know why I'm happy all the time? I got Jesus in my life. I didn't have to do all that. Why? Because I'm a tree of life. I just want you to get close enough to take a bite. Just come on in here. Just get some of this. You're going to get the joy of the Lord. You're going to get the peace of God. You're going to get everything I've been able to get blessed with. You're going to get some of that. Because why? Because I'm a tree of life. The righteous, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Tell your neighbor, say, you look fruitful to me. You're fruitful whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not. You're fruitful. The righteousness of God in you produces fruit. Why do you think people are so confused when they walk into the door of church and the ushers are mean? Why do you think that confuses people? Pastor, whoa. You know why they're confused? Because they tried to come to the tree of life and they got a mouthful of bark. I'm looking for fruit and you serving me bark. You know what bark is? Bark is what is on the tree to protect the tree. So instead of me getting the fruit, you're serving me the bark. You're trying so hard to protect the tree. Are you serving people bark? I'm not talking about y'all. I'm talking about people who are mean ushers and other mean people in churches. We're trying so hard to protect that we're serving people bark instead of serving people fruit. It's simple, but a tree has both bark and fruit. But you don't serve people bark. You serve them the fruit. The bark needs to be there. Because the tree will be in danger if there's not bark. But you got to keep the bark where the bark is supposed to be. And don't put no bark on my plate. Amen? Wisdom. Wisdom. Christ has been made unto us wisdom from God. We got to know that. We got to understand that. Listen, let's go back to verse 15 again. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. This all begins with giving God a place in the heart. Making sure God has a place in our hearts. Sanctify, set apart the Lord in your heart. Okay? And always be ready. That means you gotta always be prepared. I told you guys about what happened to me. I told you I was walking at the car shop and a young man's walking past me and I had my argument in my head about whether I'm going to talk to him or not. And because I was disobedient and didn't say what I know the Holy Spirit was giving me to say, because I was disobedient, the young man took a selfie of me so fast, has sent it to my daughter. He don't know I'm supposed to say something. He's just compelled to take a selfie. It's a picture of me walking away. I have that picture in my phone right now to remind me. Do not walk past somebody God tells you to talk to. God, you know what that picture said to me? Literally, I wish I could put the picture up so y'all can see it. He's in a picture like this in the corner, and then I'm right over his shoulder walking away. Walking away. I'm like, oh, Lord. I keep the picture to remind myself, don't pass opportunities God puts in your place. Because obviously there was something I could have shared with the young man. Something I could have said, something I could have did. I don't know what. But some of you got to take the first step of faith in order to get the next instruction. So, be ready always. Always. Be ready always. And guess what? You don't be ready with a dissertation. You don't have to be ready with a whole big old giant thing. You need to be ready with an answer why you have hope in you. Why do you have hope in you? Some years ago, we did an evangelism class. And we said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go to the mall, and we're going to pray for everybody to have a divine appointment. We're going to take every single person, 18 people in the class, we're going to go to the mall, and every one of us is going to have a supernatural divine appointment. And all you have to do is go shopping. Now, I'm not commanding anybody to go shopping. I'm not trying to get y'all to spend your money, right? The husband's going, he told him to go shopping. We went to the mall. We said, we're going to spend 1 hour, only 1 hour. And from 8 o'clock till the mall closed at 9, we went around, we gathered back together, and every single person, every one, Regina, you went to class, huh? Every single person had a divine appointment. Every single one. Every single one. What do I mean by divine appointment? You're walking around, somebody starts talking to you, and you, through the conversation, end up talking to them about God. And they say, wow, I needed to hear that. Or wow, I was just asking God. Or wow, I can't believe me and you got the same. Divine appointments. Every single person. How does that happen? Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 10. I'm going to tell you how, and I'm going to tell you why. And then we're going to close. Luke, chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. It says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also. He sent them out two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, and this is the key, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. He that wins souls is wise. If you want to know why 18 people had a divine appointment, 18 people who basically did not think of themselves as evangelists, but they had to take the class. Why did those 18 people all have divine appointments? Why did every single one of them? And why did I know that every single one of them was going to have them when I sent them out? Because I know it's an abundant harvest. I know this is a huge harvest. I know that there are people who need God. So he says, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send laborers into his harvest. Because the harvest is plentiful. There's a big harvest out there. There's people who need. But this is what happens to us. We're so conditioned to make the gospel so religious that when we start talking to people, they smell the religion. They go, shh, shh. I don't know. I don't know if I want that one. They smell the religion rather than smelling the love of God. See, it doesn't say, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out the Pharisees into the harvest. Pray to send out laborers. Laborers of what? Laborers of Christ. Send out into his harvest. Take out the fragrance of love, the authenticity of your experience with God. Because this is what Revelation chapter 12 says. And they overcame the adversary by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their own life, even to death. See, that's the understanding. This is the wisdom of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of our wisdom. To enter into that fear of the Lord means that he's going to teach you who he is. And when he teaches us who he is, then our very first ministry, is the ministry of reconciliation. To persuade others, God loves you, God's not angry. He so loves, he's given an answer. If you know where you came from and you know where you are, then that means you've got a ministry already designed. And there's labor, other laborers who will join together with you, and we will step into the harvest and we will harvest all these individuals out here who are struggling in life, who are no hope and living like they have no hope. See, I've lived with no hope. I know what it is to live with no hope. Amen. I know what it is to live in such a way that because I've ruled God out, means every experience I have is probably the best experience I can have. Wow. And so you keep trying to have greater experiences. You keep trying to go further out there. And you keep going further and further out. And unfortunately, some people who went far out with me got pulled out. Some people who went way out with me, they didn't survive it. It was the grace of God that as far as I went, God got me back. But the only reason he got me back is because a laborer got to me one day and didn't give me religion. They gave me the truth about Jesus. They didn't tell me, go home and stop doing all the stupid stuff you've been doing. They said, here, take these scriptures and let God reveal who you are. And when those scriptures got in my heart, it changed my life. That's what we're doing. That's the power of the gospel. And that's where we're going with this. So let's pray. The Spirit of the Lord is awesome, does great and mighty things. So if you close your eyes for just a moment, I want to talk to you all. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the blessing. Thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is giving us life. We thank you, your word is strengthening us, it's equipping us, and it's empowering us. And we thank you that because your word is empowering us, Lord, we know how good you've been. So, Lord, we just give you the glory and honor today. Thank you that the word that has been spoken would register in our